Jeeves and the Unwanted Guest, written by P.G. Woodhouse, narrated by B.J. Harrison.
I'm not absolutely certain of my facts, but I rather fancy it's Shakespeare, or if not, it's some equally brainy lad, who said that it's always just when a chappie is feeling particularly top-hole and more than usually braced with things in general that fate sneaks up behind him with a bit of lead piping. There's no doubt the man's right. It's absolutely that way with me. Take, for instance, the fairly rummy matter of Lady Malvern and her son Wilmot. A moment before they turned up, I was just thinking how thoroughly all right everything was. It was one of those topping mornings, and I had just climbed out from under the cold shower, feeling like a 2-year-old. As a matter of fact, I was especially bucked just then, because the day before I had asserted myself with Jeeves. Absolutely asserted myself, don't you know? You see, the way things had been going on, I was rapidly becoming a dashed serf. The man had jolly well oppressed me. I didn't so much mind when he made me give up one of my new suits, because Jeeves's judgments about suits is sound, but I as near a toucher rebelled when he wouldn't let me wear a pair of cloth-topped boots, which I loved like a couple of brothers. And when he tried to tread on me like a worm in the matter of a hat, I jolly well put my foot down and showed him who was who. It's a long story, and I haven't time to tell it to you now. But the point is, he wanted me to wear the longacre, as worn by John Drew, when I had set my heart on the country gentleman, as worn by another famous actor chappie. And the end of the matter was that after a rather painful scene, I bought the country gentleman. So that's how things stood on this particular morning, and I was feeling kind of manly and independent. Well, I was in the bathroom, wondering what there was going to be for breakfast, while I massaged the good old spine with a rough towel and sang slightly, when there was a tap at the door. I stopped singing and opened the door an inch. "What ho without there?"
"Lady Malvern wishes to see you, sir,"
said Jeeves. "Eh?"
"Lady Malvern, sir. She is waiting in the sitting room."
"Pull yourself together, Jeeves, my man," I said rather severely, for I bar practical jokes before breakfast. "You know perfectly well there's no one waiting for me in the sitting room. How could there be when it's barely 10 o'clock yet?"
"I gathered from her ladyship, sir, that she had landed from an ocean liner at an early hour this morning."
This made the thing a bit more plausible. I remembered that when I had arrived in America, about a year before, the proceedings had begun at some ghastly hour, like 6, and that I had been shot out onto a foreign shore considerably before 8. "Who the deuce is Lady Malvern, Jeeves?"
"Her ladyship did not confide in me, sir."
"Is she alone?"
"Her ladyship is accompanied by a Lord Pershaw, sir. I fancy that his lordship would be her ladyship's son."
"Oh, well, put out rich raiments of sorts, and I'll be dressing."
"Our heather mixture lounge is in readiness, sir."
"Then lead me to it." While I was dressing, I kept trying to think who on earth Lady Malvern could be. It wasn't until I climbed through the top of my shirt and was reaching out for the studs that I remembered. "I've placed her, Jeeves. She's a pal of my Aunt Agatha."
"Indeed, sir."